Good live on Barakat Morana and the respected listeners. Very excited for episode number 2 of the Power Hour. And let's just say we stop at 200 words, or even 150, 200 words, we stop at that. And now I tell you, listen, I tell you, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. I want you to memorize all 200 words in 10 minutes in order. Can you do it? Right now, most of you might say, no, I don't think I can do it. Why? That's because you believe that you don't know how to do it, or you believe that I won't be able to learn 200 words in 10 minutes. Right. So now we know that this belief is now controlling, one, my confidence. It's controlling whether I take action. And it's also controlling the results. Because when I believe that I can't learn 200 words in order in 10 minutes, your action is not going to come in. You're not going to even take action. You're wasting my time. I can't do this. You're not even going to take any action. And the result will be you won't learn 200 words. So if I tell you, guys, you know what? I'm a memory coach. I've written a book on memory, and I teach over 35 different memory skills. What if I told you I can teach you one memory technique in which you can remember 600 to 800 words in order? And yes, it is a memory technique, right? I've taught students to remember, 10 and 20, 450 word essays. So yes, it is a technique. Now, if I tell you, I'm going to teach you a technique that in that 10 minutes, you'll be able to actually memorize more than 200. You'll be able to memorize 600, 700 words in order. Now that you know and you've got the technique, you know how to do it, now do you believe that you can learn 200 words in order? Yes, you change. Your belief suddenly has changed. Your confidence, you go, you know what, I think I can do that. I might make some mistakes, but yeah, I think I can do it. Will you take action? You say, yeah, I can do that. I know how to do it, so I will take action. And the result will be you will learn 200 words in order. You might make a mistake here and there, but you still learn the 200 words because you know how to do it. But the most important thing underneath all of that is that belief. Now, the belief that you have is something that we can't see. You can't see what you believe. So we need to upgrade our confidence in our ability, in our capability and our competence about what we are clear about in each area of our life, okay? So now we've got clarity, we've got the capability, and we also got the confidence. Now we need to move to the next part, and that is I need commitment. Commitment means I need to be consistently every day or however, every second day, every week, whatever it is, I need to be totally committed that I am going to get down, I'm dedicated, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take the action. Whether it's time, whether it's effort, money, whatever it is, you need to be totally committed, because if it's something that somebody else wants for you, you won't be so committed. It's got to be something that you want for yourself, and that is what will give you that commitment, that dedication. And most important thing, it gives you consistency, right? So you build this habit. And the last thing is, now when you're clear, you've got the capability, you've got the confidence, you are totally dedicated and committed, you're suddenly going to find yourself with more options in life. You're going to find yourself with more better options, more choices, right? So this is basically the clarity part of it. Now I want to go into which part do you need clarity in, right, in terms of the personal power, to be able to achieve success in every aspect of life, whether it's academic, whether it's my health, whether it's career, right? It's all around. Okay, so the first part is all about your mindset. Now, an effective mindset is, number one, consciously aware of what is happening on a subconscious level. That's number one. Number two, an effective mindset is also limitless in its possibilities, right? And the third thing, very important about your mindset, is it's got to be positive and vibrant and energetic, right? Now, in life, you will find that there are two types of people. There are two types of people, right? Let's talk about this mindset, and we look at the two types of people. You might look at which side you fall in, and then I'm going to tell you how to come out of it. So the two sides that you get, the two types of people and the two sides of life, is one, either you are an empowered person, or either you are a victim. You're disempowered. Now, what is the difference between being empowered and being a victim, right? We call this a state. It's, you know, what you choose to be in that moment, how you are, right? So let's talk about first the victim state. I will give you some of the characteristics. In fact, I'll give you more than 10 different characteristics of whether you are disempowered or an empowered person. So the very first thing that disempowered people, or people that are in a victim state, will do, or they got a habit of doing, is they are always thinking negatively. They're thinking negatively. And it doesn't stop there, right? It actually now translates from what I'm thinking, it now becomes words, and I speak negatively as well. We start speaking negatively. We start talking about what we don't want. What we, you know, we start going on and on and on about all the things that are bad in my life, all the depressing, sad things. And what happens is, it now also translates into reactive behavior. So that negative thought, it just didn't stop there. You were thinking negatively. You were thinking badly. Oh, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. You know, I can't achieve. It didn't stop there. Now you start talking about it. And then it doesn't stop there as well. The next thing that happens is you start behaving according to what you were thinking. And, you know, in neuroscience, there's something we say very interesting. Language conditions us. We become what we speak. Now, remember, you are speaking to yourself in your mind a lot. I've mentioned this before. The average human being has around about 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day. On a daily basis, that you're talking to yourself. Sadly, more than 95% of those thoughts are negative, right? So that's thought number one. People that are disempowered will think negative, will speak negative, and they are very reactive in their life, meaning they're constantly putting out fire, they're reacting to things, okay? Number two, the second big characteristic of disempowered people is life just happens to them. Things are always just happening to them. And, you know, they live life day to day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and time is just flying. Things are just happening, okay? That's how they are. They are reactive. And then number three is a very big one, is they tend to ask very, I'm going to use the word, very dumb questions. Why me? Why my life? Why now? Why do I have to? When you ask a why question, it gives you justification, excuses, and reasons. That's all it does. So we need to be asking much more smarter questions. Okay? So that was the third thing, is they're not asking the right type of questions when you are disempowered. They're crying about why me, why now, why my life. The fourth thing is, when people are disempowered, others control how they feel. So somebody tells them something, they start crying, they get emotional, they get angry. They are now in they are now not in control. Others control how they feel. It's like saying somebody else has their remote control. When they press play, you dance into their tune. They're controlling you. So we need to take control back. Number five is these people love to blame and complain. Always blaming. It's never them. And this is what disempowered people do. This is what happens when you are a victim. You'll blame. And I'll tell you what the three different levels of blame are. Number one, most people will blame things that happened to them. They say, oh, you know, when I was a little kid, when I was a little child, my parents got divorced. Or when I was a little, I got bullied in primary school. Or this happened and that. They blame things that happened to them. They use that as a justification. So that was the first level of blame. The second level of blame is now when they start, you know, when they're tired of blaming things that happened to them, then the next level of blame is they start blaming people. And who to blame? Most victims or people in a disempowered state will always blame those that are closest to them. Those that are in close proximity to them, they'll blame them. They'll blame, for example, the teacher in school. At home, you might blame a sibling. You might blame a spouse. At work, you blame your work colleagues. You'll blame all those that are around you on a daily basis, people that you... So they love to blame people. So first one was, they blame things that happened to them. The second one is they like to blame people. And the third level of blame is they love to blame themselves. Oh, I'm not good enough. You know, the pity party, right? So they want to blame themselves. And this is where we need to come out of. We have to come out of it. Okay? So we know that disempowered people, when they're in the victim state, They love to blame and they love to complain, always complaining, right? This is, we call this an ungrateful mindset. We got to move away from it. And the next one, the next characteristic of a disempowered person who's in a victim state is that they constantly, this just like when they're blaming, they got excuses and reasons for everything. At school, the child might go, no, ma'am, I didn't do my homework because, the thing was on the dog. It might go, oh, I lost the ball. Got some kind of excuse, right? I came late to work because the car broke down, or I didn't get my transport. You got some kind of excuses and reasons always for why things didn't get done. So that's another big characteristic. And you'll find that the next one is very important, and we spoke about this last week as well. They have a fixed mindset. Oh, this is my life. This is how it's been. This is how it's always going to be. That's a fixed mindset. And the next characteristic, number nine, is these people, because they are angry, sad, disempowered in a victim state, you'll find that very often they are constantly hating, envious, jealous of others. That's how they are. Remember, it's a negative mindset, okay? So they're hating and they're jealous. And the last thing is, they are constantly doubting themselves. I don't think I can do that. I'm not good enough. They're doubting themselves. So this is basically how a disempowered person who is in a victim state, these are the characteristics of these people. Now, you might find yourself having one or two of these things here. And I'm going to show you what are the three very important things that you need to actually put right and or the things that you need to take control of to move into what we call an empowered state. Now, let me give you some of the characteristics of an empowered person. An empowered person, number one, is they are always positive. They're looking for the good in every situation, no matter how bad the situation is. They're looking for the silver lining. They are optimistic. So when you are positive, you're also going to speak positively, okay? Now, that also translates into these people who are positive, right? They know who they are. They know what they stand for. They know what their values and the principles are. They also, number two, they make life happen because they are proactive. They know what they want in their house, in their finances, in the school, in every aspect of life. They know exactly what they want. So because they know exactly what they want and where they're going, they make it happen. And another very big characteristic is they will ask very smart questions. Something happened, bad, something negative. They encountered an obstacle, a huge challenge in life. They won't ask why me, why. They want to ask, okay, this has happened. What needs to happen for us to come out of this? What needs to happen for us to, I must tell you guys, something very interesting. Many, many years ago, this happened to me when I first got into coaching. This was like 2009. And I used to help couples, in their marriages and their relationships. And I remember the reason why I stopped it was, you get calls sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. And one morning, at about 2:20, I got a call from a couple. The husband is on the phone. And in the background, I can hear his wife is being in. Tell the coach what you're doing. Tell me how you're doing. And he's telling me, he goes like this. He tells me, coach, we're coming to you for sessions. Why is she behaving like that? Why is she doing? So I tell him, whoa, stop that. But you're asking the wrong question. Because as long as you keep asking that question, she's going to give you all the reasons, all the justification of why she's behaving like that. She's got all the reasons. So I told him, you need to ask a smarter question. So he goes, coach, what's the smarter question? I tell him, ask her what needs to happen for her to be happy. And when the moment he asked her, what needs to happen for you to be happy, as angry as she was, she told him, I need this, and this. She already knew exactly what she wanted to get her happy and resolving the issue. So we got to learn to ask smart questions. What needs to happen? How can I improve on my whatever it is that I need to improve on, right? So how can I, or what needs to happen, ask my question. Another interesting characteristic is empowered people are always in control of themselves and their emotions. Somebody can swear them, bump them, tell them something. They are in control. Somebody else doesn't have their remote control and makes them, dance to their tune. No. They will tell you, you can dance, stand on your head, whistle to you, ruin the face and everything. Not going to change how I feel because I'm in control. Okay? So another really big characteristic about empowered people is they are very accountable and responsible. Meaning they take full responsibility for all results. Something didn't happen. They didn't get the... I'll give you an example, right? Such as, you know, you can... I'll give you an example for the school one that we used earlier on. Child didn't do the homework because they got... They go, you know, I didn't get it done. I forgot my work or whatever it is. But this is where they come in. They give you the excuse, but at the same time, they give you the solution. I'll have it ready for you first thing tomorrow morning. They didn't get done. I'm going to have it ready for you first thing on Friday morning. They will give you the excuse, but at the same time, they solve the problem. They take in ownership. So we got to take full responsibility for all the results in our life. We've got to stop the blaming, complaining, and pointing. And another very big characteristic of empowered people is they are always solutions-orientated. They're looking for solutions. There's a problem in their life. They're not focused on the problem. Because when you're looking, you know, when you focus on a problem, the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger because you're looking through the wrong eyes. When you look through the eyes of the solution, you'll find that suddenly more and more solutions come up. You know, I used to use this example a lot. When I used to lecture at one of the institutes, you know, the drug addicts, they will start off the day with nothing, no money. But somehow or the other, they will get their fix by the end of the day. Why? They will find some kind of solution. They've got this mindset that, no, somehow I will get it. So we got to also look at solutions, focus on solutions. We focus on options, and you'll see life in a better light. We're not focusing on the problem. Another very big thing about empowered people is they're very caring. They operate from a position of love and care, no matter what others think, say, and do. So we've got to be very caring, compassionate. Somebody, you know, no matter what others are telling you and, you know, whatever they're doing, you just be loving and caring. Why? That's our baseline. That is how our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was by nature. And so we've got to make it also our second nature, that we are empowered and we are caring and compassionate. Okay? The next big thing, our next big characteristic, number 9, is they have a growth mindset. They're constantly growing. They're always improving their life. They're not stagnant. You know, they're not remaining in the same place. They're always improving on their skills. You need to constantly improve on your skills. And the last, number 10, you know, the characteristic of an empowered person is they believe in themselves. We call that self-belief. You know, the story of Muhammad Ali, the great boxer, comes to mind. When he was a young man, and, you know, really winning, and he had a habit. He had a, you know, there was a famous thing from Muhammad Ali. And I know most people know that float like a butterfly thing. That was one. But there was also another thing that he was noted for. Every time he had this thing, he'd go, "I'm the greatest." Meaning in boxing, he's the greatest. Right? We all know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. But he had this thing that he used to keep saying in boxing. He'd say, "I'm the greatest." Nobody believed him. When he was, you know, starting his career, everybody thought he was a loudmouth because he used to speak a lot. But at the end of his career, and even today, we all remember him as the greatest boxer that ever lived. What did he have? He insanely believed in himself. Well, nobody believed in him. Nobody. The media, nobody believed. But he believed in himself. And we've got to have that level of self-belief, belief in ourselves. So these are the characteristics of an empowered person and the characteristics of a disempowered or a victim, you know, a disempowered person who's in a victim state. So the big question is, okay, Junaid, you know, I have some characteristics of a victim or a disempowered person. What do I do to empower myself? Is there three things you need to become aware of? No, I'm not asking you to change anything. Just become aware of these three things. Number one, you need to become consciously aware of how you are thinking and what you are thinking. The quality of your thoughts will determine the quality of your life. The quality of your thoughts will determine the quality of your life. So number one, I need to become consciously aware of how and what I am thinking. Number two is I need to start speaking more positively. And there's an interesting fact, right? The English language, which is generally the language most people speak, has almost a million words, right? According to some, and some people say more than a million words. But here's what's interesting about it. The average person speaking English only uses between 350 to 400 words on a daily basis. So we have a really limited vocab. We need to improve and increase our vocab. Okay? So what you need to do is you need to start talking more positively, speaking about what you want, not what you don't want. Okay? You've got to become positive in your language. We've got to remove words like no, don't. You know, these words, you know, words have a chemical effect on the brain. It has an effect on you. If you speak a lie, your body goes in a certain way, it gets tense. When you speak the truth, your body is in a different vibe, you know. So these words have a biochemical effect on your body and the brain. So we need to now start using better words. Start improving on your vocab. Very, very important. That was number two. Number three is we need to now take control of our actions. Right? We need to know what is driving all my actions. And in human beings throughout the world, there are six basic needs that drive all action, whether positive or negative. Right? There are six basic needs. The six needs of all human beings that drives all action or make people do what they're doing is because of these six things. What are the six things? Number one is what we call the need for certainty. Certainty means I am in control of my life. I'm making my own choices, right? So that gives me certainty. I'm in control. The example that I can give you is, you know, if you are going to a mall, let's just say you're going very late. You go into a mall and you go into the parking lot up at 10 or 10 o'clock at night. And it's dark. And there are no cars parked in the parking lot. Will you park there? You most probably wouldn't. Why? You go, no, it doesn't feel safe. I don't feel safe. So what happens is my need for certainty to be safe, secure, right? Whether it's physically, emotionally, intellectually, my need for the certainty to feel safe and secure is driving me not to park here. And I'll go to where there are more cars and I'll park there. Why? It's safe. So even you know, the crook on the street, the robber on the street, who comes up to you with a knife or a gun and says, hey, give me your money, give me your phone. Okay? That person, this is a negative behavior. But because that crook or that robber has a gun or he's got the gun or the knife in his hand, he's got certainty that he's in control of the situation. That's a negative way, right? That's negative person driving negative behavior. So what we got to do is we got to look at what's driving my actions. That was number one. Number two is variety. Variety drives a lot of behavior. People get tired of doing the same thing over and over and over again, but they seek out variety. Let me do a different thing today. Let me take a different route to work. Or let me, you know, change what I normally do. Normally I use this color. Today I'm going to use another color. So variety is another big driver of action. A lot of people that have addiction, and addiction can be anything, right? Not just drugs. You get addictions of food, you get addictions of gambling, you get addictions of these online now watching movies, right? Watching shorts. All of these are addictions. So what happens is, in an addiction, they're seeking variety. They want something different. They want something from the norm of the world. So they tend to, you know, numb reality. So that's the second thing that drives all behaviors, variety. The third thing that drives all actions and all behaviors is significance. The need to feel special and feel important. Now, you can get two types of significance. One is an external one, where somebody else outside of you has to tell you, somebody has to tell you, hey, you look good, or you know, you're looking great, whatever it is, that's external reference. But we need to learn how to build this internally. We need to make ourselves special and important without the need for somebody else to do it for us. That's the first thing that drives all action and behavior, right? Like, for example, when it comes to significance, important, to feel special, to feel important, right? Attention, to feel all attention. If you look at a negative behavior, bullying, they like to bully people. Why? They're getting attention. And then they feel special about it, you see? So an opposite of that is somebody who wants to, you know, make something really great and benefit mankind. That also is significant. But he's doing it not for others. He's doing it for himself. you know. So that's a little bit of significance, feeling important, feeling special, but doing it on your own internal motivation, right? Internal reference. That was the third one. Number one, certainty. Number two, variety. Number three, significance. Number four is love and connection. Now, love, we all know, right? Love is straightforward, to love and be loved. But connection. Connection is, you know, when you get onto the musalla and you make Allah Akbar, you are now connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's on a spiritual level. On a physical level, you may be, you know, hugging somebody. That's connection, okay? And just like that, human beings, by nature, we love connection. You go somewhere, you go to a walima, a wedding, and, you know, you get to the entrance and you look to see, who do I know? How do I know you, right? Then he goes, right, that's also connection. So we are always seeking connection. Sometimes it can be a negative connection, it can be a bad connection, right? And then, like I said, all of these things can either lead to a positive action or a negative action, right? So number one was certainty, number two was variety, number three, significance, and number four, love and connection. Now, these needs are needs of the personality. They are more of the person than the personality. The last two needs are basically, number five is growth. We need to be constantly growing, whether it's in my finances, whether it's in my health, whether it's in my relationship. In every aspect, in every area of my life, I need to be improving and getting better. Or I'm slowly dying if I'm not. Okay? So that's growth. And the last one, number six, the sixth human need is contribution. Okay? Sixth human need is contribution. You, once you achieve a certain level, you'll find that you want to give up more. You want to add value to other people's lives. You know, you say, I've achieved this much now. Let me go out there and give somebody else an opportunity. Or let me donate. Let me go and do some community work. That's contribution. So these are the basic six human needs. My question to you, listeners, what do you think are your top two driving needs in your life? Is it number one, certainty? Is it number two, variety? Is it number three, significance? Is it number four, love and connection? Or is it number five, growth? Or is it number six, contribution? So those are the six basic needs that drive all actions and all behavior. So coming back to what I was saying, to become an empowered person, you need to take control of number one, my thoughts. And remember what I said? The quality of your thoughts will determine the quality of your life. Number two, he said, our language, what we are speaking, our communication. We must improve our communication. Okay? And I said, increase and improve on your vocab. And the third thing I said was action. Because your actions become your behaviors. And your behaviors become habits. So we said that there are six basic needs that drive these actions that become habits. And we need to know what is the driver of all my actions. Become consciously aware. I don't need you to, you know, mark nothing special. Just become aware. Think about it. I'm aware. You spoke and you said, no, don't. Oh, you thought you said, oh, okay, I said something negative. Your content must be positive. So just become aware and you'll find a slight shift in your life moving towards becoming more empowered. So that's a little bit about mindset. Okay. The next part I would like to talk about is purpose. Give yourself a purpose. We have, as Muslims, we are born with an ultimate purpose and we want to get to Jannah. Now, in life, even here in the world, in the dunya, we've got things to do. You know, food needs to be food. You know, we've got to go to work and we've got to do things. So we've got relationships. We've got, you know, all of these things. We've got to do certain things and we've got to have some ambition or some purpose in all of these things. A Muslim is always purposeful and always has an objective, right? Intention. And it must always be a positive intention, a good intention. So just like how we have the ultimate purpose of going and attaining Jannah, right? We also have to have purpose in, for example, my health. What is my objective? What do I want to accomplish? What is my vision for my health? What is the vision for my relationships? What for every single relationship? For my career, for whatever it is you're doing, like all aspects of like social, recreational, we've got to have purpose. We've got to know what we want to accomplish, and then you build your path. Okay? Now, let's break it down and get a little bit lower, because when you want, you know, to live a purposeful life, you start off by asking yourself, what are my values? What are my values? What values do I live by? Remember, we are Muslims. We live by the highest value, right? Now, when you know what your values are, now you set out a vision for each of the values. You set out a vision. This is how I want my son to be 5 years from now, 10 years. Long term. Vision is long term. Then you break down the vision into a mission. The mission means, what are the things I do on a daily basis? Now, these things are, it can be 4 or 5 things that I do every single day that become part of my mission. And underneath the mission, you have goals. Remember, goals are long-term, mid-term, and short-term. So we all need to have goals. And we'll talk about how to set some goals. Now, once you have a goal, for example, earlier on we said, okay, I want to save 50,000 rand. That's a goal. Now I need to have a plan. I call this a success plan of how am I going to go and achieve that 50,000. Now, once you have a plan, you need to build habits, right? You need to take action that become the habit. We can call this as well your success habit. Every day, set time, set things. I'm going to do something. It's going to become a daily. That's why it becomes a habit. And under the habit, you have action. Action makes, creates your habit. And the last thing is discipline. Every day, set time. I'm going to do set things for different areas of my life. For example, we know we have the best time management system in the world. 5 daily salah at set time. So every day, 5 daily salah, I know I'm doing the salah. And then after that, I'm going to go and read some zikr or read some Quran. Every day, I'm waking up at the set time. Every day, I'm going to sleep. Every day, I'm teaching or I'm going to school. I'm going to work. You got set time. What this does is, we call it daily focus, but it builds discipline. Right? It builds discipline. And nothing beats discipline. You know, nothing beats discipline. Motivation is not as powerful as discipline. Because when you are disciplined, even when you don't feel like doing it, you know you're going to do it because every day I have to do it. Okay? So, that's a little bit about how we go about breaking the goals into values, vision, mission, goals, success plan, habits, actions, and daily focus. So, let's talk a little bit about goals, right? How do I go about setting some goals? Now, you've probably heard of, you know, the famous SMART goal setting, okay? And that's the common one that they use. And I'll just give you briefly about a little bit about it. SMART means, S means it must be specific, M, it must be measurable, A, it must be achievable, R, it must be relevant, and T, it must be time-bound. There must be a time to it, you know, time frame. Like if you said, I want to say 50,000, if you don't give yourself a time frame that I'm going to do it in 1 year or 6 months, your subconscious mind will constantly block you into thinking, no, I'm working towards it. 1 month of down the line, 2 months down the line, I'll be okay. No, I got 10,000 saved. And then 5 months down the line, I had to use the 20,000. And you go in a loop because there's no time. So we got to have a time frame. And the most important thing about what your goals and objectives are, it must be written down. A goal that is not written down is merely a wish. That's all it is, because it's in your head. Remember, you've got like 50,000 thoughts a day, right? So it's just some idea, some wish that I have. So we need to have my goal. It must be written down, write it down. Because, you know, in memory, they say anything that's written down, we are 80% more likely to action it or do it if it's written down. If you ever went shopping, right? If you ever went shopping without a shopping list, everything was written down. What happened? You waste time, you waste energy, you might forget one or two things, you might buy the wrong thing, you know, and then I have to go back. So what we do is we write it down. We write it down, and when we go there, we know, I know, I need this, I need that, and you get everything. So we got to write our goals down. And not only that, we need to visualize. Right? We need to create in our mind's eye exactly what it is that how I want that end result to be, how it's going to be, what I can see, what I can hear, what I can be. The more senses you put into that goal, the more real it becomes. Because what the mind creates, the body follows through. If, for example, this is an example I use a lot, you know, I tell people, I tell them, especially in my workshop, that if I tell you to close your eyes and imagine, and you can do this exercise right now, it takes less than like about 20 seconds. Close your eyes and imagine that you have a lemon in your left hand. You got a lemon, right? Now, your eyes are closed and you got this lemon in your left hand, left palm, with your right hand, just feel the lemon. Just feel it. Feel the skin. Turn it around. Put the lemon on its side. And in your mind, you can do anything. There are no limits, right? So imagine that you have a knife, and now you cut this lemon in half. And as you cut the lemon in half, you're going to get the strong smell of the lemon. You'll feel the juices spilling all over your palm. And as you're getting the strong smell and you're feeling the juices all over the palm, take one half of that lemon and bite into it. Now, if you did this exercise correctly and you visualized it, the moment you imagine that you put into the lemon, you'll actually get a salty taste or soury taste. You might even salivate. Why? What the mind creates, the body follows through. So we got to learn how to visualize. And visualization, as much as the West will tell you they, you know, visualize it, visualization was taught to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 1400 years ago. I can give you several examples. One of the most, the one that comes to mind is, you know, in the Battle of Trench. In the Battle of Trench, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got down and he was, you know, he was helping in the trenches, digging the trenches. And there was one part where, you know, the Kaaba became to a big rock. So when they told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this rock, he came and he took the hammer or the, you know, the pickaxe or whatever it is to dig, and he hit that rock the first time and sparked the rock, and he said, Allah Akbar. He hit it again, another spark, again, same thing. He said, Allah Akbar. And the third time, he said the same thing. So the Sahaba was surprised. They said, you know, Ya Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we saw you do something that is not normal. We never seen you do this. What was it? Now understand the mindset here. They have been besieged by the enemy, and they are building, they're digging the trench around. So the mindset is they don't know whether they're going to survive. But listen to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's answer to them. He told them, when I hit the rock the first time, I saw you conquering the Persian Empire. Now, at that time, it was one of the superpowers of the world. He said, the second time, when I hit it, I saw you conquering the Byzantines. And like that, the third time as well, he said, I saw you controlling the whole world. And they think to themselves, we are here. We don't know whether we're even going to win this. What he's doing is, he's painting in the mind's eye of that Muslim what they're going to achieve. The Sahaba, that's what he did. And likewise, he told us several things, you know, prophetic things that are going to happen. Some of which have already happened. He's painted a picture in our mind's eye, and that is what visualization is all about. You're creating a picture in the mind's eye of exactly what it is that you want to accomplish. Now, another very important thing about your goals is getting the habit of every single day, you take out at least 5 to 10 minutes to think about, what did I do today? You can call it review, right? Where you think about, did I take the right? Because I mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again. Very often you have people that are so busy, they're working very busy. But all the things that they're doing, they're so busy doing, is not in line with their goals. Like a lot of times some people say, no, the most important thing to me in my life is my family. But then they don't have time for their family. So like that, we need to take our time on a daily basis, especially I like to do it when you go to bed at night, is to review the day. What are all the things I did? Did I take the right action? Could I have done something better? Could I have spoken better? Right? Review. And the last thing about my goals, right? Review your goals on a daily basis. The last thing about goals is to have a why. Know why do you want that goal. Now, remember what I said earlier on, is very often people set goals that are actually solutions to current problems. We've got to step out of the problem. Come out of it completely. Forget the problem even exists and set out a goal as though you don't even have the problem. Because otherwise you'll fall into that trap and say, no, I need 50,000 because I got a debt or I need parents' loan. Yeah. So now you're just solving a problem. That's the solution to a problem you currently have. The common one is, some people say, I want to lose weight. Right? That's the solution to a current problem. Your goal is actually you want to live a healthy life. You know? So we got to have a strong why. You got to know why. Why do I want this goal? And you need to have at least 3 or 4 reasons why. So to quickly recap on goals and effective goals in my life, decide, be crystal clear about what you want in every aspect of your life. Health, relationships, social, spiritual, recreational, finances, every single aspect of your life. Decide what you want to accomplish in that area. Then number 2, write it down. Make sure it's written down. not on your phone, write it down. Take a pen and a paper and write it down. The next thing that you got to do is you got to understand why you want it. Why you want it. Then you need to decide when are you going to achieve it. When do you want it? So you're putting a time frame to it. And then the next step is we develop a plan. And a plan means now I need to break it down and see what I'm going to do on a daily basis, weekly basis, every month. What? That's the plan. And then we got to put that plan into action. We got to put that plan into action. So let's talk about how do we action and, you know, action our goals. How do we go about making it a reality? Okay. So this is called basically the productivity of your life. So a productive life is, number one, deeply committed and highly focused on producing and progressing towards your goals. So let me repeat what I just said. A productive life is deeply committed and highly focused on producing and progressing towards your goals, towards what's important to you. Okay, so one of the things that will make my productivity very, very important, all right, is I need to learn how to become very proactive, you know, taking planned action. So one of the traps that people fall into when taking action is the trap of fear. I'm afraid. Fear of unknown, fear of criticism, fear of failure, fear of what, you know, what others are going to say about it. So very often, when you know what you want, fear goes up back. And fear is an emotion. It's a feeling that we make up. You know, there's a famous thing, or there's an acronym, right, for fear, which says false evidence appearing real, right? So we need to break out of that fear. And this is what, you know, what's very interesting about it. When you live a fearful life, you actually tend to get stuck in your comfort zone. And sadly, 90% of the population live in their comfort zones. So what does comfort zone mean? Everything is out of fear. They're afraid to get out of that comfort zone. They live a mediocre and average life. It's just about survival. It's not about thriving. It's just surviving, okay? And it's just about getting by. And they're constantly asking themselves, what if I can't, you know? So to come out of this and be part of the 10% that are able to, you know, become successful, they have high levels of excellence in what they do. They achieve their goals, their dreams. They ask themselves, what if I can do this? They live a more fulfilled life. So get used to becoming, you know, getting out of your comfort zone. And, you know, one or two exercises that you can do to make yourself uncomfortable is, number one, every morning when you're brushing your teeth, every morning and evening, when you brush your teeth, use your weaker hand. Use your weaker hand just to actually make yourself a little bit uncomfortable. So the system gets used to, okay, I can do things that are uncomfortable. That's number one. Number two, when you're in the shower, when you finish having a shower, towards the end of the shower, you want to turn the water and make it, you know, as cold as your body can handle. I didn't say freeze yourself, and right, don't get freeze. All I'm saying is let the body feel the cold water after the hot shower. Because what happens is when the cold water hits the body, every cell kind of gets refreshed, the body wakes you up. Okay? That makes you a little bit uncomfortable. So when we actually take action, when we move toward, you know, I like to create everything in my life. I say it's a project. And it doesn't mean I need to look at the end, right? How I'm going to finish. It's about focusing on taking one step, moving you closer towards all the different goals in your life. It's not about the end result. It's about taking one, you know, the very famous thing, a journey of 1,000 steps begins with the first step. So you've got to focus on what one step I can take today to achieve my long-term goals. What is the one step? That's where you plan in your plan, you break it down. Okay? If you look at how success works, we call this the action success cycle. So if you take action, you get success. Now, how does it work? This cycle, every human being on planet Earth is born with limitless potential. You have the potential to achieve and accomplish anything that you set your mind. However, most people are living in their comfort zone. So they don't actually come out and accomplish what they can accomplish. They don't live up to their true potential. But if you do take action, any action, it can even be the wrong action. If you take action, any action, you're going to get something. And what is that? You're going to get a result. Sometimes it might not be the result you wanted, right? It might not be the result you wanted. It's totally messed up, but it's still a result. Because now I know, okay, I did this and I got this bad result. It wasn't the result I wanted. I can go and change the result. I can go and change the action that I took. Improve the action. And when I improve the action, or I change the action, I'm going to improve the result or change the result. And like that, now we've got potential. You take action, you're getting results. Your confidence, the next part in the cycle is your belief in yourself increases. Your self-confidence increases and improves. So now what happens is, when your confidence and your self-esteem increases, your belief in yourself increases, your potential increases. So and it carries on like that. So it's potential, action, result, and confidence, self-esteem, belief. So the more you take action, the more results you're going to get. And yet, not all the results are going to be in your favor. You know, they say it takes out of 10 times, 9 times you're going to fail, the one time you're going to be successful. So you're going to get used to that. Yes, sometimes the results that I'm working towards are not what I was looking for. I need to change my action. I need to change what I was doing, the behavior, and then I'll be able to improve my beliefs and my potential and then achieve. So get in the habit of taking massive action. Take lots of action. Okay? And when it comes to taking action, the most important part of action is time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a whole surah on time. We all probably know the surah. It's easy. Wallahu. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about time, he's taking an oath, a qasam, when he says wallahu, by time. And the next slide, I'm not allowing, but I'm just giving you, what I know about it. Verily, man is at a loss when it comes to time. So what this means is, the richest of the rich, the poorest of the poor, everybody wants time. Everybody wants more time. It's a resource. For me, time is a resource. It's a resource that is absolutely crucial. We need to know how to manage our resource, the resource of time. Because we know when time is gone, it's gone. You're not going to get it back, right? And number two, when you are, in charge of your time, when you're in control, it means you're in charge of your life. You're taking control, authority of your life when you control your time. And the third thing about time is that you'll find it's a characteristic of highly successful people. Highly successful people, they have set times for set things. And you got to be that kind of person as well. So before we get into time and talking about time, we're probably going to have to continue this next week. But let's look at where most people are losing a lot of time, and we'll conclude on that. So the leading time wasters, right? I'm going to give you about 7 or 8. Number one is the cell phone and mobile apps, right? Most people can sit. Okay, let me put it to you this way. If I were to ask you, most people have a smartphone, right? How much of time do you spend on your phone? Whether you social networking, whether you YouTubing, whether you Netflixing, whatever it is, how many of you spend at least 2 hours a day on your phone? If you're spending 2 hours a day on your phone, I've done the math, and you can go and recheck it out. It equates to 1 month. 1 month. That means every day, if you're spending 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours on the phone, and a lot of people will now give me the justification. No, the phone is absolutely crucial. I have to. If your work depends on it, then you have to have set time when you take those phones. I'm not against you socializing and networking and checking all these things. I'm saying let's become proactive and productive by having set time. If you want to go and check the news out, have a set time. You don't do that when it's time for me to be productive or time for me to sleep. And one of the biggest traps most people are falling into is when they get into bed, they go on the phone. Now, the bed is actually for sleeping. It's not for the form. Because on a subconscious level, the brain gets blocked. Now it knows, okay, hey, I'm in the bed, and perform. So what happens is the bed now becomes associated to phone time. So do not use your phone when you're in bed. Do not use your phone when you're in bed, unless you're doing something productive, okay? But remember, the bed is for sleeping and not for the phone. So one, the cell phone really takes up a lot of time and it can really ruin a lot of areas of your life because it's taking up so much of time. Number two is, you know, friends. When you spend too much of time, especially with friends, just hanging out, just chilling out, lots of time gets wasted. Now imagine on cell phone, if you're spending 2 hours, then just lazing and chilling with your friends, another 2 hours. That's another month from your whole year, you know. And those of you that game and watch TVs and stuff, again, same story. How long are you gaming for? Or if you're just surfing the net and just, you know, watching YouTube, these are all reactive. It's like, you know, serves you no purpose. Nothing's going to happen to you if you don't do it. You're not going to get small. You're not going to get short. Nothing's going to happen to you if you don't, you know, go and surf the net or if you don't play a game, you didn't watch it. Nothing is going to happen to you. We just have that. You know, they call it FOMO. We just have that fear of missing out. And another really big thing about, you know, productivity and where we lose time in taking action is procrastination. Leaving things for the last minute. Then I call you a pro at procrastination, right? That's because you don't have a plan and you don't know what you're working towards. Or you don't know how to go about taking action. So the last thing that impacts, right, and where we lose time is having a messy or unorganized room, work desk, kitchen, office, wherever it is that you do work and stuff. If it's messy or unorganized, the mind has what we say, gets monkey brain. The mind starts thinking about it. See, oh man, I need that. Your mind starts jumping around. So you get monkey brain, you know. So what we need to do is we need to make sure we're highly organized. There's no chaos, right? People might tell me, some people might tell me, no, it's organized chaos, right? But no, we need to be neat and tidy so that the mental depth is also neat and tidy. So we've spoken about clarity, right? We spoke about having an empowered mindset versus the disempowered, you know, victim state. Then we spoke about setting goals. And I go and told you how we go about setting the goals, visualizing, writing it down, setting a time frame. And then we start getting into time, right, because we need time to take action. And what we're going to do is we will continue from this next week. Now, last part was I gave you a challenge last week, and I said, what is the difference between education and school? So if you have an answer for me, you can send it, you know, on you can send me an email on Junaid, Junaid, at acceleratedlearning.co.za, the one word, or you can text me, WhatsApp me on 083-786-9657. Remember, there's a prize for it, all right? And the best answer will actually get a prize of one of the courses. If it's a student, we'll give them the ACE exam course and a memory course. And if it's an adult, we will give you a productivity time management course at no charge. So that's the end of the Power Hour with me, Coach Junaid Bayat, coming to you live from Durban. Until next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.